For the first time in all of human history, mankind is politically awakened, and thus is obstructing our ability to deal effectively with the global political turmoil that this awakening is generating.
So back in October, a group of us shut down and occupied EDF's West Burton gas-fired power station for a week. We saved nearly 20,000 tonnes of carbon.
We need to stop complying and start defying.
This is Dark City Radio.
One of the most concerning things about this is that the police seem to have been talking directly with EDF, actually helping them to sue us.
This is Dark City Radio.
East Sussex County Council then came up with the scheme of a link road.
I am eager to hear what, you know, what you've done, how you've got there, you know, how these backhanded, well, I don't know whether there is a conspiracy or the left hand really doesn't know what the right hand is doing within our council offices, you know.
This is Dark City Radio.
They didn't have the proper licences in place to cut the hedgerows down or to take the stumps of the trees out. Public inquiry was, in my opinion, rigged. There was protesters in the trees.
If you lower yourself to the level of violence, then the strongest person wins.
And this whole state is controlled by a body of words created by the government, statutes and acts. We're policed by consent. And that means statutes and acts require our consent to be given the force of law.
There's so many corrupt angles going on from this, it's unbelievable, it really is. East Sussex County Council are just bullying through.
Well, good evening, folks. This is Resistance News, and I'm commonly called Bob Earthwise. Welcome to your new show, where you can netcast to all about your actions of resistance. And we are here every week on Dark City Radio. DAs, or direct actions, drive progress. And whether it be from Rosa Parks on an Alabama bus to the tank man in Tiananmen Square, these are the people that have affected real societal change.
We don't need someone to come along and tell us how to live in our community. We've got to make a peaceful, honest, honourable stand to the best of our ability to stop this going on.
And now, please welcome the Dark City Radio Resistance News Crew.
So May the 4th be with you. It's that day, isn't it?
An odd few days they didn't chemtrail either, and we had beautiful blue skies. Today they've started again. But hey, you know.
So May the 4th be with you.
It's all, you know, good for Monsanto. Now they've said that they're going to release a whole set of seeds that are chemtrail tolerant. Funny, isn't it? And they're supposed to tolerate aluminium and all the other nasty stuff that's fallen on the ground. And in the same vein, on Monday, and that's May the 6th, the EU are going to be voting on a new seed law. And that will... I mean, at the moment, if you can't sell seeds unless you are licensed and you sell licensed seeds. That's been the case since 2008, which of course allows Monsanto to go and buy up all the seed companies pretty easily. There was a company called Cocopelli in France who was selling seeds, and they got fined €35,000 for doing that in 2008, and it's pretty much put them out of business. You know, this is how institution, government, supposed government institutions are trying to deal with us. And on Monday, it goes one step further. And although it will allow people to swap seeds, they will only be allowed to swap licensed seeds if this passes. And of course, none of the heritage seeds and the old varieties from which all the modern hybridized varieties come from are going to be licensed. So, you know, what's going to happen to our, you know, the food evolution for us? I mean, all these plants have been evolving alongside us for years, you know, millions of years altogether. And it just beggars belief. You know, week after week, there's this stuff that just beggars belief. And we really, really need to come together and just not comply with any of it. It is just so dangerous. We're really lucky tonight. We have a lot of people in the show chat room. And a lot of people have been looking through the various items that I've been looking at to try and work out exactly what it is that's going to be going on. So anytime any of you, you know, Chris, Carly, Praj, Nyrese, want to comment, please do. How are you all doing?
Yeah, all right, thanks.
We're all doing great, thank you.
I enjoy cat amongst pigeons like that. Brilliant. Well, have any of you got any comments on this thing so far?
Well, I've just been having a little mooch through it, Barb. I haven't looked into it as much as I'd like yet. But what's worrying to me is all the way through it that I've looked so far, they keep referring a lot to forest reproductive material, which I think is really frightening. And also rootstock is mentioned in here as well.
So that's right. It's any form of propagation material. It's not just seeds. It's, you know, any cuttings.
So therefore, any element of nature, pretty much.
Exactly. Exactly. And it, of course, it doesn't just apply to food plants. I mean, that's the most dangerous element of it. But it also applies to pollination plants for our pollinators. You know, you won't be able to lay out a cottage garden for, you know, bees and butterflies unless it's a licensed variety.
Yeah, and it seems to me, from what I've read so far, there's no real justification for putting this in place. I mean, they're talking about the only aim I've managed to get out there so far is, what did they call it? Sustainable intensification for increasing yields. And they're also talking without adverse environmental impact, which I think there's a bit of Orwellianness going on there. But I mean, really, we don't need to increase yields anyway, do we? We just need to, you know, we all know there's massive amounts of food waste. So it's not really the growing it that's the problem, is it?
Exactly, but I mean, the fact that it's going to monoculture the whole planet is, you know, we just can't let this happen. I mean, as far as I'm aware, this is only in the EU, so presumably the US will follow in one way or another, which will leave hopefully Africa and so forth free. But, you know, what's the whole of Europe going to look like?
Third world countries and such, I haven't quite absorbed that yet, but there is stuff laid in place here for what will happen with trading with those companies. But it's interesting as well, because the you know, they've got this little bit about exceptions, and one of those is literally just passing between individuals, one purse, which I think, you know, obviously won't. That doesn't apply to seed banks either, because it depends. You've got to look now. Oh, God. I've got too many points on to make. I'm trying to say them all at the same time.
I know. It's just, you know, impossible, isn't it? I mean, yeah. Just taking the concept of it on board
Well, what's interesting, I mean, where their definitions are for what they're talking about.
Oh, I think you might have disappeared a bit there, Nairis. Getting back to what Nairis said about people being able to swap seeds with each other, it's only going to be licensed seeds. You know, you won't be able to swap with your neighbour, your friends, your family, any heritage stuff whatsoever.
It's absolute travesty, really.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the only people that can test for scientific purposes on seeds is people like Monsanto, because when they sell them, I think I'm right in saying that you have to sign an end user agreement so that you won't actually delve into anything to do with the seeds anyway. So they're kind of get out clauses for themselves, so it's more legislation that everyone else has to follow, but they don't.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, Monsanto have got it sewn up in the States, don't they?
Yeah.
If they've got a field of GM corn next to an organic field and it cross-pollinates, they then own the organic field as well. Yeah, and then, you know, the organic farmer can't save any of his corn seed for the next season, even though, you know, there might only be a very small contamination.
Would you mind if I jumped in a moment, Bob?
No,
because I was just, thank you, love. The people that this is going to affect first and foremost is all commercial growers and commercial farmers who are going to have a hell of a hard time getting seeds that aren't registered. And as you were saying earlier before we went live, Bob, it's going to cost, did you say, £2,000 to register any kind of variety of seed? And then there's a maintenance fee that has to be paid every year after that to maintain the registration?
That's correct. That's £500 annually.
I mean, for people like us, ordinary, everyday anarchists that will not comply with this sort of thing, I mean, we'll save seeds and we'll share seeds just as normal, and there ain't a lot they can do to stop us. I think we really need to get behind commercial farmers somehow and mount some sort of a full-stage European-wide non-compliance movement to this. I don't know how we do that, though, just yet.
Well, we just got to get the information out there. And, you know, as far as seeds are concerned, you know, don't only try and do what you normally do. Make that extra effort, you know, and make sure you share it. You know, make it a point that you share seeds.
Yeah. Yeah, and harvest them as well.
Nairis? They've got a Seedy Sunday in my area. I think it originated in Brighton, and it's once a week in the beginning of February where everyone, I mean, not once a week, one month of the year, normally around about the 10th of February, and everyone goes and swaps all their seeds, and it's everyone from your local area, so it's plants that have been grown in your area generation after generation, and it's a brilliant event. And the seeds, like, I was buying packets of seeds as well for like 50p for like loads of seeds. It's an amazing thing, Seedy Sunday.
We have had them here, you know, I'm in Bournemouth in Dorset, but this year I haven't seen any at all. So I don't know what's happened with those.
Well, from what I can gather, anyone can organise one for their area. Seedy Sunday or something similar you could do, but Seedy Sunday have actually got a website, and I suppose you just register with them and find out if there is one in your area, and if there isn't one running in your area, well, then you're free to do it, to run one in your area, because it's so important to keep seeds virile and using seeds that have specifically been grown generation after generation in your area, because they're used to that climate. Even the difference between the cabbage that grows down south and the cabbage that grows up north, they won't do so well in the wrong environment.
Well, that's true. Maybe you could post that CD Sunday website up on here, and then I can include it in all the links that go in after the podcast.
Yep, no worries, I'll do that for you now.
Brilliant. I mean, Nyrese, you invited me to help you with a seed exchange on Facebook. That seems to have been going quite well the last few days, doesn't it?
Yeah, fantastic. Well, I was a bit blown away, really, because I created it last Sunday, and then within half an hour, there were over 300 members in the group, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just about literally just people linking up and then swapping together and creating whatever they create. I mean, with the seed bank we've got here, I just literally got a box, a couple of us put what spare seeds we'd got in, then we asked around and it's all free, and then people take out, people put in, and we take it to any little, you know, we do to spread the permaculture word. I'm doing these kind of little church events, anywhere that'll have me, really. and just sort of doing it that way, really. And we will, yeah, we'll have a plant swap as well when everyone's sort of got whatever they're going to get in. So, yeah, it's just literally connecting with people. I mean, I have to say, we haven't got all organic seeds in ours yet, but I think there's an element of introducing the idea to people before I can kind of, you know, I think people are less likely to come on board initially in my area if I, you know, blow their minds with all this legislation initially. So it's not a purist seed bank yet, but hopefully it will be eventually.
Well, the key thing is get people used to doing it, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, because it's something that used to happen years and years ago, not quite on such an organised level, but I can remember, you know, older relatives of mine used to all grow stuff and swap seeds with all their neighbours and swap plants and, you know, swap food as well if there was a glut of anything. And it seems to me that somehow over the last 40 odd years all that's disappeared.
Although I tell you what is encouraging, I think I was talking to Steve yesterday off air about the fact that obviously, you know, things are quite sewn up in America, but in regards to seed sharing and seed events, it's quite big over there. And, you know, I don't know if anyone's seen any photos online or stuff, when they do those things, they, you know, you're talking a couple of hundred people turn out, and, you know, so I think that's quite encouraging that there is that resistance over there to what's happening, you know.
Well, this is what we need to get sorted in the whole of Europe, isn't it? Because that's the only way that, you know, if this legislation goes through, it's ever going to be, you know, counteraction for it. Yeah, they can't arrest millions and millions of people right throughout Europe for not complying.
Yeah.
And it's got, we've got to get to that sort of level with it, really.
I think it's a good idea also, if it's possible, to get farmers involved, because they're going to be the most affected. And I don't know whether there's any kind of a farmers union or what out there. I'm sure there probably is. And it might be a good idea to contact them if we can and find out what their feelings are and if they're actually planning on taking any action and actually work together with the commercial growers as well.
Yeah, actually we have, because we've got a local food bank, and they get their meat and veg and stuff from a farmer. He's in Hay on Y, so I'll get in contact with him and see what kind of thoughts he's got and plans. That'd be interesting, actually, Carly. Yeah, I'll do that and let everyone know how it goes.
And maybe in a few weeks we can come back with some solutions.
Yes, let's do that.
Because he's supplying the food bank, he's currently gardening all organically, I mean, and he doesn't inject his meat and that kind of thing. So yeah, that'd be really interesting line of inquiry. I'll get on it.
Yeah, because I know farmers in the UK and probably across Europe are already being so tightly squeezed, and they're being paid not to grow food on their fields, and that must be so disheartening for them as well, when their whole life is farming. And yeah, we need to start getting together, I think.
Well, I think there's more and more farmers' markets now, isn't there? And they're sort of missing out the middleman, you know, like Tesco and Sainsbury, and, you know, they're the ones that are causing the most damage to farmers. It's not everyday people like us, apart from we generally enjoy the cheapness of supermarkets. So purely by shopping there, we're kind of supporting it.
Yeah, we are.
Supermarkets aren't really all that much cheaper anyway. When I go to my grocery store, my local veg shop, I can get 4 oranges for £1, and when I go to Tesco's, I can get 4 oranges for £1 if they're on special offer. So that is actually a bit of a myth. It just depends on what particularly you're going to go and buy, and I find from my local veg shop as well that the quality of the vegetables is so much better and they taste nicer. I just prefer it, really, than to shopping into Tesco's.
Have you noticed that they're larger as well? Like cabbages and cauliflowers and things from a market stall or from a local veg shop. They're the proper size you used to get years ago.
Yeah, and tell you something else I've noticed is that they go...
Well, hi again, people. I'm sorry we disappeared there. The vagaries of Skype. I think it's probably my fault, because I was going to start the show with May the 4th be with you, and I forgot. So that's probably why Skype crashed out. So May the 4th be with you. It's that day, isn't it? Well, let's get back to these seeds and some thoughts we've had about instant solutions. Collect seeds, that means that a lot of plants that you put in, you're going to have to put in extra to let them go to seed. Not a lot of people do that. They just plant and then eat what they've put in. Unless, of course, they're flowers, in which case they do that anyway. And yeah, you just get chatting with your neighbours. You know, I mean, I've got a massive amount of tricorn leeks growing in my front yard, and people just come round and I give them a shovel full in a pot and they take it off, and, you know, it's really easy to pass on and grow in most soils. It's really hardy, a bit like wild garlic. So, and it tastes just like garlic as well. So yeah, that's a good one. But yeah, anything that you grow, you know, share it around. We've got to do it.
Yeah.
We haven't heard. Do you want to say something, Chris?
Oh yeah, it makes me think of when I was a child. I remember my grandfather sharing seeds with people in his road, and. You know, you get a little brown paper bag with a few broad bean seeds in there. And to think that could become a thing of the past is an absolute travesty, really. It doesn't bear thinking about. It's our heritage. Those plants have got a right in our lifestyle. They've earned that right. You know, we've bred them.
Well, it's not any breeding. A lot of the plants evolved specifically with us.
Just such a shame.
Yeah,
that's been our common way of life for so many years. I don't see how they can just eradicate our way of life if something's been done for so many years.
Well, I think the thing is, it's not to eradicate it immediately, but it's the thin end of the wedge.
Yeah,
it's
Well, the whole thing.
Let's get all this legislation in now, and bit by bit we will push the wedge deeper and deeper.
Yeah, I mean, you can see, you've only got to have a bit of an imagination, you can see where it will lead with a few more laws piggybacked onto the top of it.
Yeah, and it's easy and to do once the basics is in there.
And that's an awful future. Absolutely awful future. This is really, really important. We need to get on this, raise hell about this. Shout as loud as you can on all your usual things, your chat forums, your YouTube. We've got to make a big noise about this.
Well, I will obviously put the links up underneath the podcast at the end, and from the show, the stuff we've talked about. Maybe between us, we can all go, trying to look at solutions, and then in a few weeks' time, we'll all come back and inspire people to, get this sorted in their own area.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Has anyone else got a comment they want to make before we finish this half?
Yeah, I just wanted to read a paragraph from one of the articles that you've linked and that will be linked on the YouTube, Bob. And these links have already been shared in the chat room. So it says here, by forcing registration of all varieties of all crop species, the new law will prohibit old, rare and traditional public domain farm varieties. This will guarantee huge profits for the seed industry, but will be a terrible loss for the people of Europe as our agricultural heritage is outlawed overnight. And I think that about sums it up, how serious this is.
Yeah,
I've just been reading a bit on the farmer unions on their page, and they're basically saying that it's that the reason for the legislation is to protect food and for food security. So they're really trying to put fear into people by the sounds of that.
Well, it goes to show what side the farmers' union's on then, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it says that people are trying to distract from the real issues.
But the real issue is about control of absolutely every single aspect of all of our lives right across the board.
That's right. You control a nation's food, you've got the nation under control as well.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, it goes back to the attitude of that very nice gentleman who's the CEO of Nestle saying that organic farming is a waste of time, and we need to control nature as well as selling water.
Yeah. To think that our science comes anywhere near nature, that is so arrogant.
Well, I mean, they can complement each other. This is why we're here. We are a guardian species. We're here to protect everything.
Yeah, it's not science controlling.
There's no other reason that we've evolved.
Yeah, it's not science controlling it. It's somebody else controlling it, isn't it? They use science to control, just like they use fear to control. They use all sorts of things to control.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true, Sarah. All right, anyway, they come up against the wrong generation of hippie, don't you think, Bob?
Sorry, they're up against the wrong generation.
Yeah, the powers.
I mean, we're really fortunate in that we have, at the moment, the internet. And that's one massive tool in our favour. However, in amongst all that, there's a lot of dangerous spaces. I mean, I did notice that there was a petition that you could go and sign about this saying, I will not comply, or we will not comply, run by Abbas, which is, of course, George Soros controlled. So straight away, if you go and sign that, you're on a list. Yeah, and chances are Euro cops will be calling on your door. Where's your seeds? We want all your seeds. Anyway, let's take a little music break and come back with something a little bit different. We will come back with this subject again, as we will refer to all the things that we talked about, because none of it's immediately ending, and we've got to make sure that people really are aware of the damage that's being done on every level. Anyway, guys, enjoy the music and we'll come back in about five.
Listening to lies all my life, time to turn off that road. Join the side of justice, free from remote control. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Selling the information, patenting the ideas, controlling communication, persuading us that we're free. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. You don't want to wear a barcode, you don't want your jeans on file. If you don't want the voice of America, you've got to retune the dial. To radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Radio independence, get the real news. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. Listen to the free radio, make up your mind and choose. When at last the people are free to be who we want to be, we'll take away all our pain and we'll go dancing in the rain.
Welcome back, everyone. Hope you enjoyed the music. We've still got everyone in the chat room, and this next little article will probably stir people up yet again. I was reading during the week that the government is suggesting that drilling companies like Cordrilla that are wanting to start fracking offer sweeteners. It just beggars belief, really. This is our government suggesting that a corporation bribes people because of the amount of opposition there's likely to be. So in other words, you know, we'll give you a few quid and hopefully you'll ignore all the people that say that fracking's bad. I'm sure all of you out there have got something to say about this. Perhaps somebody wants to comment now. I mean, I've got a bit of a smile on my face, really, because it beggars belief.
The thing that got me, really, was these incentives about who's going to pay for these incentives, and it's going to be the taxpayer, which is unreal.
Exactly. and they've suggested that they don't go to district or borough councils. They take it down to parish council level and below to individuals. So if somebody's going to be living near somewhere that's going to be frack, they'll come round and say, look, here's a couple of grand, just keep quiet.
Yeah.
And probably there'll be another clause that says that you're not allowed to talk about it and that you absolve them of any responsibility if stuff goes wrong.
Yeah, it's but people will just see the money and sign it. They won't read the small print.
Yeah, they'll think it's Christmas.
Yeah.
Until suddenly, you know,
they've signed a deal with the devil.
They're likely to wake up and realise that, where they live's the equivalent to burning.
Like a living hell.
Yeah. Well, you know,
sign a deal with the devil. You get flaming tap water.
I mean, when you know, you think that, I can't remember if it was last week that I reported that the commercial wind farms have produced as much electric into the grid as all the gas-fired power stations. They both produced 15% of what was used in this country. And a lot of the wind farms aren't completed yet, the commercial ones. And of course, that doesn't include individual wind turbines. And it certainly doesn't include any of the other renewables, you know, solar, tidal, hydro.
That's so really good. That's just the commercial wind farms.
That's they, right, yeah. Just
the gas in water.
Yeah. So, you know, do we need to frack? That's the question. And, you know, my opinion is no, we don't. You know, just on a energy usage level, we don't need to do it, let alone the destruction that it causes.
Bob, I was just sitting here listening to the conversation and I'm reading this Guardian article about the sweeteners being offered. And I'm not surprised you're there with a big grin on your face, because it absolutely does beg a belief. When we actually think back to the 80s and to Margaret Thatcher shutting down the coal mines right across the country, that kind of reminds us that we have got a ready supply of carbon-based energy or fuel that is accessible and that would provide employment to a whole load of unemployed miners and all that sort of stuff. But it completely, the notion of fracking not only completely contradicts this sort of green energy initiative that has been foisted upon us over the last 20 or so years. It actually will also cause massive amounts of water pollution and air pollution and unstable bedrock and so many other problems that were not caused by coal energy. And it just makes no sense at all that we've got environment ministers coming along and saying, well, yeah, fracking companies, go ahead and offer local communities sweeteners and incentives so that you can frack in their neighbourhoods and poison their water and poison their air. And it's beyond a joke, really, isn't it?
I wonder if they're going to give him an earthquake manual of what to do in earthquakes.
Yeah, hide under the table.
Yeah, I was going to say they'll rehash that wartime video, won't they?
Yeah.
When you're supposed to get under the table when, you know, we were being attacked with bombs.
Yeah, same thing. And on this subject, I was reading earlier in the week that they're proposing to test drill two sites between Manchester and Liverpool in coming months to drill down these test holes to see if they're capable of being fracked. So, I mean, they're going right ahead with it. No sweeteners offered, I don't suppose, in these instances. But they are planning on rolling this out right across the country as well.
Well, this is, you know, I just don't get it. We don't need it. I mean, it's actually methane that they're digging out. And you know, when that escapes to the atmosphere, that's 20 times worse than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. You know, regardless of, you know, whatever we might think about climate change and all the rest of it, it is worse. It's also a fossil fuel. You know, it's non-renewable. And if it is a useful substance in the future, you know, and there is a much more sensitive way to be able to use it, you know, in a very limited way, then that's what we should be adopting. You know, it's the same with coal, really, you know, because, you know, there's likely to be people, if we are sensible, on this planet for millions of years more. It's not just about us, you know, it's the future. And it's the same with oil, coal, all of it. All of it's finite. And that's what we should be protecting, regardless of any climate issues.
Yeah. Well, Agenda 21 is all about what they refer to as sustainable development. And that means that a development that can, that won't harm future generations' ability to survive on the planet and all that sort of stuff. And this just flies in the face of all of their preaching about climate change and you know, environmental bills and all that sort of stuff.
Well, in my mind, this is all part of Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is a very, very dangerous document.
Yep.
It's purely about population control in quite a bad way. It's putting people in human habitation corridors. That are all linked by rail. It's about banning human involvement, any human dealings in vast areas of the planet. You know, so if you live there now, you won't be allowed to. If you don't live there now, you won't be able to go there. You know, it's just. This, and this is all part of it. You know, can you imagine what they'll do to the rest of the planet if no one's there to keep an eye on them?
We're going to be destroyed unless we stop them. I mean, the planet itself will survive anything that we can throw at it, and life will continue no matter what. But what we're actually currently doing is destroying the planet's ability to sustain and support human life.
Well,
and they must know that.
It's not just human life, is it? It's, I mean, potentially these things could destroy all life.
Well, I think the planet will itself regenerate. I mean, it's a pretty robust ball of rock that we live on. But yes, certainly thousands, if not millions of species that currently enjoy this place, we're wiping them out, aren't we?
Yeah, and you know, that just sits so below what we're capable of. It really does. I mean, we're capable of making this planet abundant for everything that lives on it.
Yes.
I mean, really abundant. You know, where there's plenty for everyone. Everything, every plant, every animal, there's plenty.
Yep.
And we have the ability to do that. We have the technology now to do that. We have the knowledge, the wisdom, the expertise now to do that.
Yep. And the desire as well. We also have the desire, both for the politicians and the corporations.
Well, they're the things that need to go then, aren't they?
Yep. Yep. The sooner the better.
Well, has anyone else got comment on that? On this fracking bribery?
Well, it's really not very good, is it? For it's totally unpredictable. Even geologists say it's so unpredictable. you know, it's not worth the risk, really, is it, at the end of the day? And especially when you think about how much electricity and energy is wasted. You just walk into a supermarket, for example, and there's no doors on the fridge. Maybe if people dealt with these issues first, and then there wouldn't it be such a need for more electricity. But as your population increases, it is going to be the need for more electricity. But fracking definitely isn't the answer.
No. But I mean, it's in, you know, my local supermarket, they've got doors on all their fridges and freezers, glass doors, and people leave them open.
Yeah, people just don't seem to be aware.
Take out what they want and leave it open, you know, and I'm forever walking around shutting doors.
And until people start taking responsibility more for themselves and what they are doing on a personal level, you know, that's where the grassroots of it all is, isn't it? You know, otherwise, if everyone just keeps leaving doors open, lights on, and using loads of unnecessary electricity, well, then it's always going to be a need for it to be increased.
Well, then it's down to those of us that can see a different way to get the message out there. I mean, not in a hardcore way, but in a light-hearted, hey, look, you know, we could be having so much more fun if we didn't waste all this stuff. And we could, you know, without a doubt. I mean, I do a number of events in the summer, you know, working with other people.
We have just lost Bob, unfortunately.
Well, it's he does a lot of green events, Bob does, and they run the stages and the whole event on green energy. And this doesn't, he's been telling me, like, this doesn't please the local councils very much at all. Because they want big stalls there with generators and maximising their profits. And these people, they run their cinemas from bicycles, they run their disco at night on bicycles. And the whole stage is run from
solar panels.
It's fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah, there's quite a few festivals doing that now as well. It's amazing how much you can actually run off solar panels. There isn't any need to be running these type of events off anything other than alternative fuels nowadays. Really, there's no need for it.
The funniest bit about what you told me about it was they got bicycle generators for the disco. So while everyone's dancing, there's got to be a certain amount of people pedalling. And by the end of the night, you don't have to switch the music off. People just get tired of cycling. And the disco just finishes organically. And it doesn't need any noise regulation. It just people just go to bed and the music stops as soon as they finish cycling.
I think we've got Bob back. And I think he was going to put a shout out for Faslane Peace Camp as well. Are you back, Bob?
I am, yeah. Yeah. I was chatting with some people at Faslane and watched the video, which I'll put a link up again, and they've been there for 30 years, which I hadn't quite realised. I mean, that's an amazing feat. And, you know, they got a really nicely set up camp up there, and they want people to be involved in it. It's... from the video, I think there's only four permanent people living there. Obviously, there are things that happen on a action basis. But this weekend, I was hoping to get them on, but they're busy. They're having a Phoenix gathering. I'll put a link up to the video, and you can watch it, make up your own minds. But they really, you know, that really does need supporting. You know, Faslane, of course, is all about Trident and the useless waste of money that having a nuclear deterrent is. You guys got any comment on Faslane?
I think it's great.
Yeah,
they're like an eyes and ears. They see these subs coming in and they're recording it and they're getting the information out there. You know, their manoeuvres and when they're coming in, once they've broken down. From the video, it looks like these subs are breaking down on a regular basis and coming and limping back into port. So, yeah, it's good to have someone there reporting all this and, you know, showing the nuclear industry for what it is. It's quite a dangerous industry, even due to all the regulations. So dangerous.
Sorry to interrupt. I saw something from Faslane about 2 weeks ago. There was an appeal that they put out for new peace campers to get down there. So I just wanted to throw that in. They are looking for peace campers to go and join them.
Well, this is what their gathering today is all about. It's called the Phoenix Gathering. And they've been trying to get people up there to, you know, have a little event, and hopefully some will want to stay. So, please do, if you're listening and you can help out. Yeah, do it. It's worth it. It's something else that the government shouldn't be spending money on. Well, we're pretty much coming up to the end of the show, so thank you all for all your input, all of you that have tonight, and everyone out there. I hope you all have a good week, and we'll be back next week. Take it easy.
Bye.